Welcome to the Bright Beams Broadcast with Brother Ed Hicks, a broadcast for the proclamation of the unchanging truths of God's Word in a changing world.
I have started a series of messages entitled Seven Symptoms of a Sinking Society. Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 3 states, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man." Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse 34, the Bible says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Number 1, a great preoccupation with eating, drinking, and playing. Number 2, an excessive decoration with ornaments. Number 3, the constant congregation for worldly activities. In the earlier years of America, many people were occupied largely with home, work, and church. In more recent times, there has been a multitude of recreational activities available to Americans. How can the devil get a man to waste his life? By keeping him occupied with the things that draw him away from that which is really important. The Bible says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" The lost man preoccupied with the things of this world can neglect salvation all the way to the end of his life and go to hell. The believer can neglect sanctification to God and service for God by being preoccupied with eating, drinking, playing, and congregating for worldly activities. The world was not ready for the flood when it came. Luke chapter number 17, verses 26 and 27. "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." The world was not ready for the flood when it came, and it shall not be ready for the Son of God when he comes in the rapture. Someone might say, "Where has this preacher been during the last few months? Is he not aware of some of the changes that have taken place in this nation?" At times, the people of America might be restrained from particular activities and particular sins for a while. But if there is not repentance in America, then, if given the opportunity, I believe that Americans will go back to their former sins and old ways, like a pig going back to a walla, like a dog going back to its vomit. Take a pig out of its walla, wash it until its skin is pinkish white, put it in a pristine pen, tie a pretty bow about its neck, but then place the pristine pen and the pretty pig near an old hog walla and release that pig and give it a chance to choose the pen, the pristine pen, or the old hog walla, and see which one he chooses. Going to a walla is natural for a pig, and wallowing in sin is natural for a sinner. It is true that sometimes a sinner's habits might be disrupted for a while, but you can expect that sinner to find another sin, another way to sin, or to eventually go back to his old way of sin. The fourth point in the outline is the attempts at the elimination of God-given roles and boundaries. Much could be included under and expounded upon under this heading. There are three ways in which there have been attempts at the elimination of God-given roles and boundaries. Number 1, through indoctrination. Number 2, through intimidation. Number 3, through legislation. First of all, let's consider the attempts to eliminate the roles of man and woman. No matter what the world says, and no matter how blurred the lines of distinction seem to become, God made two genders and only two. Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 27, "So God created man in his own image. in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Deuteronomy chapter number 22 and verse number 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. There is a difference. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 11, verses 14 and 15, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. There are only two genders. God only made two. It is not that man has suddenly discovered that there are scores of genders. It is not that man has suddenly discovered that a man can change into a woman and a woman can change into a man. The fact is, it is now as it has always been. There are only two genders. Listen to these words that were stated to have come from the Dallas Morning News, December 30th, 1998. Gender-bending Americans are redefining roles, names, and looks of men and women. Experts say that increasingly Americans are redefining the roles of men and women. We as a culture are pushing gender boundaries. We're going through a process of testing the limits of manhood and womanhood, says Dr. E. Doyle McCarthy, a sociologist at Fordham University in New York. Evidence of our culture's exploration of what it means to be male or female is all around us. There are unisex hairstyles, clothing, and yes, even bathrooms. As women enter into the workplace, men learn to step up their roles inside the home. People began questioning gender roles and later gender boundaries. Dr. McCarthy and Dr. Murray point out that there is still a sense of what is feminine and what is masculine, but that sense is continually being redefined. End of quote. There are only two genders, and there is no such thing as transgender. Listen to these words from Mr. Paul McHugh, formerly of the Johns Hopkins University. At the heart of the problem is confusion over the nature of the transgendered. Sex change is biologically impossible. People who undergo sex reassignment surgery do not change from men to women or vice versa. Rather, they become feminized men or masculinized women. Claiming that this civil rights matter and encouraging surgical intervention is in reality to collaborate with and promote a mental disorder. End of quote. There are only two genders, and we need men in America to lead homes, to lead churches, and to lead governments. One of the greatest judgments that came upon Judah and Jerusalem was that God took away from them men of ability. God took away from them the mighty man, the military leader, the cunning artificer. And we might think about one whose occupation requires skill, a kind of a combination of artist and a builder. God took away the eloquent orator, not merely a speaker, but a speaker with eloquence, with the ability to please, to persuade, to move the hearer, even an orator with elegance. America needs good and skilled men. Portions of a poem stated this, God give us men. A time like this demands strong minds, great hearts, true faith, and ready hands. Men whom the spoils of office cannot buy, men who possess opinions and a will, men who have honor, men who will not lie. For while the rabble, with their thumb-worn creeds, their large professions, and their little deeds, mingle in selfish strife, lo, freedom weeps, wrong rules the land, and waiting justice sleeps. End of quote. Pray for God to raise up real Christian men. Pray for an army of God-loving, God-serving men. Pray that God will raise up a new crop of good and faithful preachers. Thank God for every Christian lady. Christian men and Christian ladies should each fulfill God's calling for them. But there has been a real attack on Christian manhood in America. You might hear the terminology toxic masculinity, but do you ever hear the terminology toxic feminism? Christian manhood has so come under attack that a male can end up being afraid and ashamed to be a real Christian man. God calls on men to lead in homes, to lead in churches, to lead in nations. In Isaiah 3, after telling that the Lord had taken away from Jerusalem and Judah men, needed men, then God said in verse number 4, "And I will give them children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them." Then in Isaiah chapter number 3 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths." I believe that in Zechariah chapter number 5, the Bible tells of a wicked worldwide commercial system, and in the biblical picture of it, a woman is sitting in it, and two women with the wind in their wings lifted her up to carry her to Babylon. I believe that in these last days that there is a wind blowing in this world that can lift wicked women into places of leadership. Some high military positions in the United States have been filled by women. Jeremiah chapter number 50 and verse number 37 states, "A sword is upon their horses and upon their chariots and upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her, and they shall become as women." When God said they shall become as women, that was not complimentary. Jeremiah chapter number 51 and verse number 30. "The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. Their might hath failed them. They became as women." The mighty men of Babylon would forbear to fight. They would avoid fighting, voluntarily abstain from fighting. They would become like women. Nahum chapter number 3 and verse number 13, "Behold, thy people in the midst of thee are women. The gates of thy land shall be set wide open unto thine enemies." In case someone gets the wrong idea, thank God for good Christian ladies. Good Christian ladies can do things that men cannot do. But thank God for good Christian men that fulfill their roles properly. The United States should not start drafting women. The United States should not put women in combat positions. The United States should not have aircraft carriers with men and women living together. And the U.S. should not have women in the highest places of leadership in the military. Let us pray for God to raise up some real Christian men.
Why not now? Why not now?
If you have any questions concerning this broadcast, give us a call at Lighthouse Baptist Church. The number is 850-610-3041, or visit the website at lbcfl.org. By the grace of God, get ready, be ready, stay ready, for Jesus is coming again.